Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Honestly, as a baseball player, we're kind of, I'm not sure if all professional athletes are wired the same way or not, but there's such a satisfaction in going out and trying to accomplish something with a group of guys that become your friends over the course of a year or multiple years. And whether that, you know, that goal is reached or not, by the end of it, there's satisfaction in knowing that you really put everything into it. And I think I'm going to miss that the most is not having that challenge of overcoming hurdles and obstacles and being able to celebrate the good times and being able to share some of the down times. But I'm definitely, you know, hopeful and know I'll keep my body in shape and be ready to go next year.
Look, you don't make it to batting title MVP defining player in franchise history status without really needing to chase that competition dragon. I mean, and these guys do that. They're addicted, not to adrenaline, but to competition. And even though Buster Posey is stoic and he hardly ever smiles and you don't see him get all worked up one way or the other through failures or success, like Buster hugs is as dramatic as it ever got, right? And this guy, it's easy to say, man, his heart isn't in it some days, especially when he has a rough day at the plate or hasn't hit a home run in a month and a half. He's a competitive junkie. And stepping away from that is going to be tough, but the choice to do it in the name of keeping his family safe, that's not hard at all.
More to the point, the bigger addiction.
Why do you got to fluff my point?
These guys?
Why do you got to fluff my point?
No, I'm not fluffing your point. I'm not fluffing your point.
And Damon.
Okay, and Damon. God, you're such a pedant. I'm not trying to fluff your point. I'm trying to say is even guys after they've sort of not been, they're sort of on the fringes of a team and they don't get to enjoy the competition by playing, they still love the idea of being with their teammates. That the clubhouse or the locker room is every bit as addictive as the competition because not everybody gets to compete very often. There are guys who may only play 26 games a year. You know, that's a lot of time not competing. But it is time every day where you're with all the other guys.
And how much do you hear that, right, from retired players? Yeah, I miss the game, but really I miss the camaraderie.
Right. The bus
rides. I wasn't trying to dog your comparison, but the addiction is multi-layered is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, it's these guys are in it for lots of reasons. It's easy to see the money. It's easy to see the fame. It's easy to see the acclaim and the applause and the parade up Market Street. That's all easy to see. It's the little stuff, the stuff that is behind the scenes that these guys really indeed are addicted to. Buster Posey went on in his moment with the press to talk about the risks of playing baseball as he sees it this year.
I think to answer the other part of your question about how much did it factor in for me getting the virus? Yes, that was a factor for me. I mean, Henry, I can't sit here and tell you that I know what the right answer is to this or the wrong answer to this, but after weighing it for a long time, talking to doctors, just feel like in the current state that we are right now, and these babies being as fragile as they are for the next, 4 months at minimum, this ultimately wasn't that difficult a decision for me. From a baseball standpoint, it was a tough decision. From a family standpoint and feeling like I'm making a decision to protect children, our children, I think it was relatively easy. I haven't said that again. I'm rambling a little bit here. I completely understand that not playing baseball doesn't wholly eliminate the risk of contracting the virus. But I do think it eliminates it to a certain degree, one that it makes myself and my wife feel more comfortable than we would otherwise.
And he's right. There is no guarantee that without a major league season, Buster, his entire family are now immune to catching anything. Hey, catching is what the guy does, right? Terrible joke. there is no safe space. But the safest space you can create is one that you can control. Buster Posey will not be able to control his environment when he's out on the road. You got to leave it up to Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. And even if they do everything perfectly, there are still all sorts of cracks in the plan. The safest place is definitely in whatever gated community he lives. Posey feels like an Atherton guy. Like he's got that kind of money, right?
Belmont,
Yeah, Belmont money.
I think regardless, it's easy to see one thing, right? Which is wherever he lives, whatever his situation, at home, he can absolutely create a scenario where he has to interact with very few, if any, people outside of his immediate family.
The Posey
bubble.
That's
right.
The Posey bubble. Forget the
NBA. He can make a Posey bubble.
The Posey bubble.
A pubble, if you will, if we're calling the WNBA a wubble. He can be inside the pubble, and there's just, by pure numbers, he's guaranteed to encounter way more people, infected or not, if he plays baseball. So again, the decision is easy in exactly how the ways he described it, as much as he may want to play.
Nash he might be living in Lafayette, which, based on Georgia needing some land, that makes a little bit more sense. He can't be a Sea Cliff guy. He needs acreage.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The other thing is the players in the two Western divisions of baseball are playing most of their games in hotspot states. The Giants play 54 of their 60 in hotspot states, 30 in a hotspot city.
Yep.
I think that's part of it too. It's that every time he goes, he's taking on a risk that the Minnesota Twins aren't necessarily taking on. And I just think the math, in addition to everything else, has something to do with this. Is what are my chances of getting it? Well, they're much greater being a Giant than they are being a Royal.
Look, the only Twins he cares about are not from Minnesota, but are the ones that he just adopted. He's going to worry about those Twins, not the Minnesota Twins. When we come on back, we have an awful lot more sound from Buster to get into, some sound from Farhan on the Giants catcher situation. If not Buster, do you start the clock on Joey Bart? Rob Brantley and Tyler Heineman are your other options in the squat. 888-957-9570. Would you, if the numbers say he's ready, start Joey Bart's clock in a year with only 60 games, knowing that even if he hits 30 home runs, you're still probably going to finish dead last? By the way, if he hits 30 home runs in 60 games, he's got it. 888-957-9570. We are just getting underway. What should the Giants do at catch? What are you looking at Bart? Let's talk some baseball, like a little actual baseball, just for the fun of it on a casual Friday here on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Fulton Auto Body, open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options along with free pickup and delivery. And Chilton Auto Body offers virtual estimates, curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your own vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com, 888-957-9570. What does Farhan do at catcher? We're coming back with that, your calls, and much more this afternoon, including the Jaguars saying, yeah, let's play football with 25% seating capacity, even though the whole state is on fire right now. We have all that still on the way. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
A single, and Buster Posey hits it over the head of Chris Bryant, who was playing very shallow, and the Giants win the ballgame.
Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Skype with the sound, NBC Sports Bay Area. Welcome back. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. Buster Posey has opted out of the 2020 Major League season. What does that leave the Giants with at catch? We're going to get into that in just a second. Buster Posey and his wife have adopted identical twins who are in a neonatal intensive care unit. Now, there are two sides to a neonatal intensive care unit. A side where the stories are expecting to end well and there's some hope, and it's the only side that you ever want to be on, because the other side is among the saddest places in the world, watching newborn infants struggle to hang on. Matt, you saw it. I've seen it. It's overwhelming, the burden of just walking in and out of that ward each and every day. And if Buster has not been able to show up and work out with the Giants and has been distracted, I so identify with that. I can't even imagine. Their adopted identical twins are both doing very, very well, apparently, in the NICU, but will take time to come out, and Buster will take all the time he needs to make sure that when they do come out, everyone is as safe as possible, like we said, in the Buster Posey bubble, which is probably safer than the bubble that does not exist around Major League Baseball. And for those of you who want to deny a man who has reached the pinnacle of his career the opportunity to enjoy the fruits of his labor, I mean, that's what this is. This is enjoying the fruits of your labor, getting yourself in a position where you don't need to worry about money. I quote Gary Radnich, F-U money is a good thing to have. And Buster's got it, and he doesn't need to do anything that he doesn't want to do. And it's hard to argue with what he is doing. The situation it leaves the Giants in, though, is very, very interesting. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. Guys, what would you do with the Giants catching situation?
For me, it's easy. Just as easy as it was for Buster Posey to choose to be with his family. And by the way, like, just to add to what you said, Damon, I didn't work a minute when my son was in the NICU, and I wouldn't do anything differently if I had to do it 1,000 times over. So that's easy. And to me, the Bart decision is easy. Unless he looks totally overmatched, he is my opening day catcher, and he's in the lineup every single day he's healthy enough to be there. Now, sometimes I would have him be the DH. I'm taking advantage of this NL-designated hitter to have some games where Joey Bart is sitting next to the catching coach, wherever they are, on the bench, in the dugout, who cares, in the stands, and he is getting a lesson. Look at what, you know, Heinemann or Brantley is doing here. This is what a veteran pro does. But I also want him behind the plate, and I want to see what he's got in 60 games against professionals, major league professionals.
I think what you do is you ease him in. You have him on the roster, but you don't make him the opening day catcher. What you do is you let him watch, and you play him in game 3, game 5, you know, game 6, you know, spot him here and there so that you're not giving him everything at once and increasing the chances that he gets overwhelmed. Because if he is as important to that team as everybody believes he is, then you don't rush him in like he's ready to go. You expose him the way you would have been able to if you had started the regular season in a normal year and made him play. You watch him play every day down. Things are a little bit slower, and you can
Ray,
absorb
your microphone is burping just a little again. I'm sorry, Ray, and I'm not trying to cut you off at all, but you're getting a little garbled there.
Gassy day today for all the mics on the show.
While they reset you just a little bit, you know, you talk about not playing him until maybe the sixth game. Yeah, that is the right slow way to maybe develop a young guy in a normal season. Game number six means you have just missed 10% of the season that you're about to play. I don't know if the Giants are afforded the luxury to slow play anyone in a year that is nothing more than a sprint.
Well, and isn't this the ultimate low-pressure situation if you're talking about Major League Baseball? There's zero expectations for your team. It's a short season. You can write off struggles as small sample size, even if you struggle the whole damn year. Like, there's no pressure on this guy to perform if you put him on the roster, really. It's going to be no fans in the stands. It's going to be a lot more pressure any other time you bring him up.
Speaking of bringing him up, I think Ray's back.
Yeah, we had to change me to another channel, and now I can hear myself in my head, so this will sound awful. But
only to
no,
you.
My point is, yeah, having him, since there are no minor leagues this year, the only place to have him is on the major league roster. In terms of how often you play him, though, I think you need to be more careful about giving him too much too soon, only because you don't know what his capacity for absorbing knowledge at that level is. I would take it slower with him and give Brantley or Heineman as many games as Bart needs. Because I think Brantley and Heineman know they're not the future. They're placeholders. And the truth is, the best way to ruin your catching for 5 years is to rush this guy and he gets overwhelmed, because that is a danger that every team faces with good players. And unless Joey Bart is so elite that he can hit the ground running and be a top 10 catcher right away, the safe and smart thing to do is to ease him in. They don't have the luxury that Posey had when he broke in, which was a September where they could spot him here and there and get him used to the environment. So I think the idea of having Bart on the roster, I mean, the alternative is having him not play. So that doesn't make any sense. But in terms of, you know, putting him out there opening day and expecting him to catch 35 or 40 out of 60 games, I think that's something you got to play by ear. And one of the things that I learned a long time ago from a much smarter baseball man than I will ever be is I don't have to make next week's decision today. You know, what I'm going to see in the next 5 days will determine what I do a week from now.
And I think that's that. Oh, so sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I mean, I'll probably start burping again soon anyway.
I think that's the right attitude, right? You don't make next week's decision today. But I guess for me, my decision today is he's in there, because I would rather throw him in, see what he's got, and back off if I need to. In, again, what is really like a bizarre lost year. I don't think I worry about 20 games of struggling in a 60-game season derailing a guy if he was really destined for greatness. So I'm okay with him being in there to start, and if he struggles, we'll give him some days off. No problem.
Joey Bart is 23 years old. He has yet to have a major league at-bat. He is among the top prospects in the entire system. Rob Brantley is a catcher on the Giants 60-man roster. In 4 days, he turns 31 years old. He is a quadruple-A player, is who he is. He has been around the game for a very long time, but he hasn't even had 400 major league at-bats over the 5 seasons he's been called up for a little major league service time. And those are not 5 consecutive seasons in a row. He has come and gone through the sport. Tyler Heineman, 5 games for the 2019 Florida Marlins. He has a grand total of 12 plate appearances at the age of 29. So the water is shallow in terms of what are you swimming in terms of your catcher's pool. It is shallow right now, and Farhan Zaidi was talking about it. Here he is.
Obviously, him and Rob Brantley have been in the conversation to be backing up Buster, and like we were saying, there's going to be more opportunity there. You know, whether we ultimately decide it's a timeshare or there's a starter and a backup, you know, we'll just have to see. We just added Chadwick Tromp also to the camp, and he's taken some nice swings since coming in. So, you know, we've got, you know, at least in terms of those three guys that have sort of played in AAA in some of the big leagues, you know, you've got a left-handed bat, a right-handed bat, and a switch hitter. So it could mean different configurations. And again, I think we're still certainly open to looking outside the organization, you know, perhaps for somebody with a little more experience, especially if we think it'll help us early on in the season. But configuration of how those at-bats are going to get distributed kind of still remains to be seen. We obviously still have some time to figure that out.
Chadwick Trump is a 25-year-old non-roster invitee who, again, has never had a major league at-bat, I believe.
It's the thing. Go ahead.
Did anybody ask him about Joey Bart specifically? Do we have any?
Did he
address that at all? Because that he didn't mention Bart there.
Farhan, do you have another quote from him? This is on his options at catcher.
And it's just going to open up opportunity for all the catchers in camp. You know, there's, you know, Buster was obviously slated to be our starting catcher. There's more reps, there's more opportunity, and that goes for all the guys in camp. And, you know, we're going to have to add a sixth catcher at some point here just to be able to run our camp with all the pitchers. So, we're, you know, either going to go internal or external, adding somebody, whether that's, you know, a short-term thing or somebody that we view as part of the longer-term picture or competition to play a bulk of games this year. It's just too soon to tell. But I think we'll be reevaluating kind of both the options internally and externally in the next few days as we figure this out.
Hey, I've seen Sandoval strap on the tools of ignorance
yeah,
in
baby.
An emergency situation, maybe.
Let's do this.
Patty Barrels? Come on! Patty
hey,
Barrels!
If Sandoval catches, we could realistically get him to play every position on the field this season. Because there's a chance they might need him to pitch.
That's probably one you save for a special day, but I'll throw out a name. Russell Martin. Free agent.
Sitting out there? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he is a better placeholder, to my mind, than either Brantley or Heinemann, because he's done it for a long time. And he could be a very useful resource for Bart as well, because, you know, he's 37. He's caught forever. He's played on four different teams. He's won a gold glove. He's won a silver slugger. He's a resource. I mean, he's a placeholder, but he's not a bad placeholder.
I like that idea.
It's like a player coach almost.
Yeah, 38 or so, old guy, but well, okay. That's a very intriguing idea to me. And I guess going back to the quote, it sounds to me like the door is at least open for Joey Bart. If he has a hot camp, I think he'll be on the roster.
I mean, the crazy thing is hot camp means he needs to really turn it on in the next 9 days, right?
Right. He has 10 days. I guess, do you guys know if he is not on the, because there's a 60-man now, right? If he's not on the 40-man, what happens to those guys? Are they available if someone gets hurt? Like, how does that work?
I think you have to establish, I mean, I think you've got to be on the 40-man.
So, once you get cut from 60 to 40, those 20 guys are not eligible?
Yeah, that's why I think he's going to be, he'll be one of the 40.
Okay.
I mean, there's no value in not playing him anywhere this year.
Right.
At least he can practice. The other thing is, I think, if I understand the procedure correctly, you could take a guy on the 60-man, move him to the 40-man.
And once
you move him to the 40-man, yeah, once you move him to the 40-man, you can activate him. So
it's not 100% over if he gets cut in the initial cut.
No.
Right.
Again,
this is complicated.
Year, but yeah. Typically, if you control a guy, you could put him on the 40-man at any point. You just have to take somebody else off if you're at 40.
Right.
888-957-9570. We're certainly happy to take your calls. What do the Giants do at catch? I got to say, guys, one of the things that I think has been so exhausting about the last couple of months is that while half of the country is trying to hold up an umbrella, the other half of the country feels like it's trying to insist it's not even raining. And I look at baseball, and I think that they're a little bit guilty of this. And you could say, hey, man, it's no big deal. It's too far out that you shouldn't even be worrying about it. But in a way, I am, because I don't like the message that it sends. Major League Baseball released its 2021 schedule. Shame on them. I mean, really, shame on them. Read the room, would you please? It's like, how many times do you want to tug on Superman's cape before he turns around and he kicks you? Keep disrespecting the state of the world. I mean, where has that gotten us? I just think asking people to say, hey, here's a little sign of normalcy. Doesn't this make things feel normal? Wouldn't planning a trip a year from now to Wrigley Field or whatever ballpark you wanted to go to make you feel more normal? Book that flight. Book that hotel room. Get ready to go. It's just a rejection of the reality that is around us right now. And I know that, you know, they haven't jeopardized anybody by showing you what the next year's schedule is, but can we maybe try to get this year off before we start talking about next year?
And what do they think they're gaining, really? Like, those people booking the plane flight for next summer doesn't do them any real good right now. No one's doing TV or radio shows breaking down the 2021 schedule before we even get spring training games started in 2020. Like, this is both pointless and tone deaf. I don't get it at all.
Oh, I get it completely, but you have to be really cynical to get it. One, this is what they always do, and so they're saying, well, see, we're operating as though everything is normal. And the other thing is, they want you to think that they're viewing this as the 2020 season is, oh, we'll get through this. It'll be no problem. And next year we'll be back on it like normal. It's what happens when you have a meeting of one guy and he proposes an idea to himself. He agrees that that idea is good. He comes out of the meeting and tells everybody else, I've met with all the important people and this is what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
As I rip the concept of the new schedule coming out, I couldn't help but notice three things about the 2021 schedule. Can I share them with you? Number one, for the first time in the history of the San Francisco Giants, they will be opening in interleague play. The idea is to open the 2021 season at the Seattle Mariners, which would make it the 12th consecutive year in a row the Giants would be opening their major league schedule on the road. Riddle me that, Batman. How's that happen?
The Giants ask for it. Why? You can make requests to the schedule makers and say, we'd rather open on the road. And because it's been 12 years in a row, the only way that that can happen is if they expressed an interest in opening on the road.
I think it's a weather issue. It's just freezing cold down at the ballpark in late March, early April, and they'd prefer to play somewhere warmer if they can. I'm not sure Seattle solves that, but that'd be my guess.
No, well, I mean, I happen to know that the Giants have asked to open on the road for a while now. And unless they make a specific request to Major League Baseball that says, hey, we'd like to change that and open at home, they're going to keep opening on the road until they specifically say, we want some home games to start the year. It wasn't by design. It was the Giants had asked for it.
Do you know why? Do you know the reasoning?
It's because they believed that they would get a better start to their season in terms of attention if they waited till the weather was a little more benign. I mean, the weather is part of it, but it's the idea that they asked for it. Major League Baseball has not imposed this on them.
I almost think it's irresponsible of Major League Baseball to grant a team its scheduling request 12 years in a row. I mean, we want this. We want this. We want it again. We would like it again. We would like it again. We would like it again. Well, why? What's going on here? Maybe you shouldn't be able to get what you want all the time. If this is to have more games at home later in the year, I guess you could argue that it is not a year-in, year-out advantage for them. But it's odd that they'd be starting 12 years in a row if they're doing it by request. It's an odd request. I think their fans would be more than happy to sit in a windy ballpark on opening day around Major League Baseball. I've always felt it's been a little demerit of opening day at Oracle Park that it is an actual opening day. It's opening day for you. It's your home opener. It's not really opening day. yes, I get caught up in that. One other thing. Let me just give you one other thing here.
Sure.
Yankees and Mets will be playing each other on the 10-year anniversary of 9/11.
20.
Yeah.
20-year anniversary. Yeah, not 10. 20. There you go.
Yeah. That's cool, I guess.
Kinda, sorta. Yeah. It'd be nice if they broke out the NYPD, NYFD hats. I thought that was one of the cooler things that New York baseball's ever done.
Well, we'll see how America feels about policemen in a year.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
No, but that one smacks of ESPN saying, we want that game.
Agreed.
Oh, sure. Because the network definitely has a hand with the schedule. It goes, this is a day we've picked out. This is a day we've picked out. We want these teams to play. It's the same reason that Boston and New York never play midweek games. I mean, they have to do it once, but all the other times it's weekend.
Oh, yeah. So you get that Sunday night game, baby.
Ticket sales probably affects that too, right?
Sure. You can charge more for a sunny Saturday than you can a Wednesday.
Exactly.
888-957-9570. Mike in Vallejo talking Buster. Hello, Mike. Mike Vallejo. Is he Buster Posey?
Is Mike gone, or do we not hear him?
Andrea. Hello, Andrea, the astrologer in Berkeley. Maybe it was in the cards all along for Buster. Hello, Andrea.
Yeah, enjoying your show. And, I just had a look at Buster Posey's chart. He's a fellow Aries, by the way. March 27, 1987. But, you know, people are more than their sun sign. I mean, he does have that Aries, like you said, competitive spirit and so on, and that, kind of confidence, assertiveness. But Moon in Pisces, Moon is emotions, home and family, and Pisces is very sensitive and emotional. So it's almost like family comes first. So I can really understand, like, the heart and soul of his decision. And that said, it's kind of a crazy season anyway, as we established. Give Joey Bart a chance. December 15, 1996, Sagittarius. They're kind of at the right place at the right time. And he has a lot of planets in Capricorn, Jupiter in Capricorn right now. He's having a Jupiter return once every 12 years. Good fortune, opportunity for success.
Andrea, are the Giants, do you see in the stars anything better than a fifth place finish? Come on.
Well, Mercury's out of retrograde on July 12th, so there's
Mercury.
That.
That's it. It's got to be Mercury.
But I really think that in answer to your question, I think it's really almost like an extension of summer camp to just see what these guys can do. If that makes sense, it's sort of like not getting attached to like winning the division, but kind of seeing, you know, how some new players are and how they mesh and things of that ilk. It's like taking it one day at a time more.
Hey,
I like it.
One day at a time. That's all we get. Thank you,
Andrea.
Heard
what she said.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Take good care.
Joey Bart has planets in Capricorn, man. Get him in there.
Again, does Farhan know that? Does Farhan
I don't
know
know
about the Capricorn alignment?
Him?
I mean, yeah, let Farhan know. Capricorn says, play the kid.
Planets in Capricorn. Bart needs to play.
Of course.
Ray gets it.
No. Here's what I get. If she had said that the moon is not in Capricorn, you would have said Bart needs to play.
She said it. She said Bart needs to play.
I'm saying whatever she said, you were going to say Bart needs to play.
All right, if you say so. I don't know.
Well, no, I just, I think since none of us know anything about what she's talking about at any given moment, she has the upper hand, whatever she says. She could just say, I'm going to the store to buy turnips. The response would be, oh, yeah, Bart needs to play.
Well, I mean, it's like when I go to a mechanic and he's trying to tell me what's wrong with my engine. There's nothing that he could tell me that I wouldn't believe.
That's right.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, the snuffleupagus is all off. So it's going to cost you $10,000.
What we're going to need to do is replace all your phalange rods. You're like, oh, of course. I mean, phalange rods.
I was worried they were bad.
At any cost.
They sounded like they were going.
Yeah, exactly. I heard that rattle, that signature phalange rattle that my dad always told me about. 888-957-9570. When we get on back, are we going to go to Mike in Vallejo for part two, Electric Boogaloo? Let's find out on the other side of this. If you want in, get on in now while the getting is good. A Kolsky's Corner is coming up at 5:30 today. We also got a 20-minute warning for you. You have 20 minutes to submit your Bay Area all-time top 10 list to us at 95.7 The Game. Do so, and your official list will be part of the rankings that come out. We will be revealing 10 through 1 over the course of Monday through Friday. Next week, it should be an awful lot of fun. Weigh in. Don't just complain if you don't like what you hear. Here's your chance to weigh in. Submit your top 10 list to 95.7thegame.com. You have 18 minutes to get that done. We are closing that at end of business, 5 o'clock. We're going to take you to 6 o'clock, though. Like I said, a little Kolsky's Corner at 5:30. When we come on back, the Jacksonville Jaguars are committed to making a bad decision before they really have to. Why? Again, half the country is doing everything it can to tell you, get under the umbrella. It's raining. The other half of the country insists. There's no water out here. What are you talking about? It's not raining at all. Oh, what a time to be alive. 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
One thing.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
It is our longest commercial-free segment of the entire day. Coming up at 5:30, little Kolsky's Corner here on 95.7 The Game. Guys, one of my favorite words in the world, schadenfreude, taking pleasure in others' misery. So this is something that the two of you, well, maybe, I mean, Matt, this is probably more familiar with you than it is Ray, because growing up in Big Ten country or spending time on a Big Ten campus like I did, Matt grew up in Evanston. I went to IU, obviously. You start a very healthy hatred of Notre Dame for all the right reasons. And those reasons are most who go to Notre Dame are arrogant jackholes.
Can I just weigh in quickly?
Plenty of examples there. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That is problem 1A. But problem 1B, or maybe even like 1AA, are all the pompous, arrogant SOBs who didn't even go there, but whose, like, great uncle on their mother's side dropped out after freshman year and somehow think they're in a Notre Dame family and engage in all the silliness thereof. I hate it.
Go Irish. They're the worst.
Ugh.
Anyway, so
hold it. Before you go further,
why?
Either pick a lane here. Is it Notre Dame or is it Kentucky?
Oh,
who's the worst?
Well, Kentucky football doesn't matter. Kentucky basketball is cheating right now somewhere, probably sleeping with your wife. Like that.
So it's okay.
They
so
are the worst. They are the so worst. Notre Dame is the second worst.
Notre Dame football or Notre Dame period?
Notre Dame football. The rest of the school is fine. Like, I like Mike Bray. That's a good basketball team, better than a lot of people would give it the shrift of being historically. Notre Dame matters in basketball. Indiana basketball, it's important. Anyway, my problem with Notre Dame is the football program, because unlike the football program, the basketball team, the baseball team, the soccer team, the whatever team at Notre Dame doesn't enjoy one of the biggest unfair advantages in all sport. Notre Dame's exclusive television deal with NBC is one of the most unfair, this is what we get, we share it with no one, we keep it all ourselves, and we are the nationwide, you know, campus. Everybody gets to come to South Bend on a Saturday, thanks to our deal with NBC. It is as unfair as any advantage anywhere else in sports. It is ridiculous.
And they're still not good.
The reason why they've never joined the Big Ten, which they should have. Notre Dame should have joined the Big Ten years ago. Everyone knows it. Notre Dame knows it, but they didn't want to give up their own money. So the Big Ten thumbed their nose at them when they wouldn't even be. so they wanted to become partial partners, stay independent football, but join the rest of the conference. The Big Ten said, sit on it. No way. You don't do that to us. So they took total advantage of the desperate to be loved ACC. That's why they're playing a little bit of an ACC schedule. Notre Dame, too big for the Big Ten. Again, if Notre Dame had to play an annual Big Ten schedule and couldn't put Army and Air Force, we're going to play Navy and lose to Navy. That's what's great. But they would have had to play a real Big Ten football schedule, and Notre Dame would be 6-6 an awful lot. They would be in a lot of trouble if they had to do that.
They're like Iowa good.
Yeah, I mean, they are now. The look at it this way. The luster is off the Shamrock. They'll never be who they were probably ever again. So Notre Dame, for the first time in its life, is finding out what it's like to be a little guy. Notre Dame has been really screwed over the way that MAC schools have been with the Big Ten and now the Pac-12 saying we're not playing non-conference opponents. Wisconsin had Notre Dame as a non-conference opponent, and Notre Dame was going to play Stanford and USC. Those are three huge paydays that Notre Dame will not be getting because they didn't want to join a real conference. They wanted to flirt with the ACC and remain independent. You're UConn football now. It's great. I love it. The Schadenfreude is real, as is the hatred for. Here's the thing. Everyone likes Rex Chapman's Twitter. Dude, he went to Kentucky. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Eventually, Rex Chapman is going to ruin Twitter. They ruin everything. Clint Azubuike, really good guy. The year that he becomes a Warrior broadcaster, the entire franchise turns upside down. I'm telling you. Kentucky. Cancer. Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins. I really wasn't worried about the attitude. I was worried about where he went to school. Kentucky. I'm telling you. Don't trust a Kentucky man. Not never.
Wow. I cannot imagine.
Sleeping with your cousin, neither can I. That's why I hate him.
The first time you went on one of these rants, in earshot of your wife, why she didn't hit you with a stone. Because this is the level of derangement that only people who grew up in Indiana can truly understand. And I'm not even criticizing you for that. But the fact that you're sharing it with people who don't want to know, that's the frightening thing. And I blame your wife for not straightening you out on this a long time ago.
I think this is one of those things that once Damon, became aware of the malfeasance of Kentucky, he felt like he had to share the gospel with the rest of the country so everyone knows.
And how many times has his wife said, Damon, please tell me what you think about Kentucky?
All the time.
If she loves him many times.
No, if she loves him, none at all. Because if he did it once, she would be justified in shooting him in the back of the head.
Where'd Willie Cully Stein go? I rest Kentucky. My case. I rest my case. Okay. So.
God, I so want to say the sentence that's dancing in my head, and I'm not going to do it.
Good. We all get to come to work on Monday then. The Jacksonville
that's not
Jaguars.
The sentence. The sentence is completely clean. It would simply mean that, well, you'd snap.
Oh, go ahead. Do it. Put it on me.
No.
Text me.
Because it's the one that you can't fight off. You'll snap. I guarantee it.
Something about Bob Knight.
I know how to do this. Trust me.
It's probably something about Bob Knight.
Bob Knight was a lot of things. He wasn't a cheater.
If he were,
he'd be more welcome in the state of Kentucky. Okay, so the Jacksonville Jaguars say that they're going to seat 25% capacity at each of their home games this season. They say, in compliance with state and local authorities, because in Florida they have so banged it up, great job, state and local authorities, and they say they're going to follow CDC social distancing guidelines. I don't mean to be political, but just yesterday we learned that with a phone call, the Oval Office can change the standards of the CDC without running a single test. That is disturbing. And it feels like the Jaguars know that they're making a tough bet, and so they're trying to place the credit of that bet on someone else. This isn't our decision. We're just following local protocol and CDC guidelines.
Which could easily change by the time this even becomes an issue announcing anything regarding this is pure insanity. Isn't it? Why? Why not wait?
No, the argument is very clear. The federal government is forcing the Jaguars to do this. It's clear that of all the things that re-election stands for, it's making sure that the Jags have 25% attendance.
So what does that mean? It means the stadium probably look how it normally looks for December games. I mean, it's not like they're having sellout issues there. 16,790 fans is 25% capacity at their stadium. They did say that they will be mandating masks for all fans. That is on borrowed time. Let me tell you what's not going to happen. There's no way I'm going to get a tan line wearing a mask outdoors. The whole mask thing is going to last a quarter at best. Come on.
Who thinks it's safe to go to a football game is not going to be wearing a mask, period. And what it means is the Jaguars will have to have a security person for every person in the stadium and be prepared for a number of fistfights.
Oh, I mean, from women. I mean, the nut jobs in Florida who are most vocally anti-mask, they've all been incredibly angry white women with terrible haircuts. I mean, there is a lack of good styling and intelligence in Florida. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of things that we have seen put forward and videos of women and people complaining about, I talked to my lawyer. You have to let me in this dentist. And they're just, you know, you see the lady like, just no, we don't have to let you in here. Go. I don't believe you have a lawyer on retainer, ma'am. You know,
By the way, bring him in.
Yeah.
Have him subpoena us.
Can we just slow the state of Florida down just a tiny bit here? I mean, it really has been our drunk uncle for a long time, and now it's just a drunk uncle on Thanksgiving. They're determined to ruin the meal. Florida continues to make nothing to see here decisions while the entire set is exploding behind Lieutenant Frank Drebin on the Naked Gun. I mean, it's unbelievable that you would get ahead of this before you needed to get ahead of it. Why? What do you have to gain to tell people that we're going to let 25% of you in September when we're not even that far past the 4th of July? Why? You know, what's the old saying? Set your expectations low. That way you can only exceed them. Why set people up for disappointment if, my gosh, you are looking at zero capacity? And this does bring up, I don't want to say it's a competitive advantage or not, but it feels like since every football team agrees to ground rules, the rules of who's allowed in your stadium sort of need to be universal too. If one team is allowed 25% capacity, it won't be long before every other team is asking for that as well. The state of California calling the shots out here. So it's not up to, you know, any NFL team to make that decision. It's not up to the NFL. It's up to the state of California. But if I'm not a team in the state of California and I see Florida's getting 25%, whether I think it's right or wrong, I'm going to want 25% too. Again, everyone is just a wallet. And if your wallet dies of COVID, there's another one waiting to come in behind it.
But if California, just as an example, if California, Illinois, and New York all mandate no crowds, that's a pretty good chunk of owners who are going to be on the side of, why do those other guys get to do it when we are not allowed to? And I don't see California certainly bending to the will of NFL owners. So this is curious. And I think ultimately it may come down to what is the percentage of teams whose states or cities won't let them have fans. Because if it gets up near 50%, then you might see everybody sort of, you might see a ruling where no one's allowed to have fans. If it's 20%, those owners probably get overruled.
Ray, I know that you shared her. Oh, by the way, everyone, welcome to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game.
KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Ray, I think you said today the governor of New Jersey says that sports teams are going to be exempt from 14-day quarantine restrictions. What's that?
That's another pandering politician saying that if you have to play games in our state, we have a law that says you have to quarantine for 14 days. We're waiving that for pro sports teams.
What?
Why? Because
it's the only way they'll come.
Right.
Yeah. Say whatever you want to say about Florida or Texas or California or Arizona. The most deaths in the country are still in that New York, New Jersey area.
By the way, does that apply to anybody besides the football teams?
It says professional sports. So
no, but I'm saying
it also means baseball.
But who's there? I'm saying logistically.
The hockey teams would be in a bubble. So
this is really just for
it's really
the Giants
football.
And Jets.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe there is no minor league baseball going on, so it wouldn't affect
right.
a minor league baseball team.
Well, Miami.
And
sorry,
that
was uncalled for.
It may end up applying to less important sports, but if they did this, I guarantee it's for the majors, which means it's really just football because the Nets are gone. Everybody is in a bubble in hockey, you know. So it's either pandering to politicians, you know, it's a politician who's either pandering to other politicians or it's a politician who.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.